right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. Happy Easter, everybody. Let me get set up here, my little OCD self. All right, we're good to go. All right, well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here, and man, we are so excited and thankful that you chose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship, to celebrate the most incredible day in our history, right? The day in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, right? I mean, come on, you can give it up for that. I mean, that's good stuff, right? Okay. It's okay to get excited in church. I mean, we're talking about some incredible things. So again, thank you all so, so much for being here with us today. We are honored to have you. And man, let's just get going with it. So today we are going to continue on with our current message series that we started last week called From the Cross. And what we're doing in this series is we're studying some of Jesus' final words that he spoke actually from the cross. And last week we saw that Jesus, the innocent, perfect Son of God, as he was dying, was being beaten and tortured and mocked. During all of that, I mean, he just remained calm. He kept cool about himself, right? And then hanging from the cross, he said something, he prayed to his Father that just still baffles me. Just still baffles me. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." We see that, and we see that we are called to follow that lead in forgiving those who have hurt us and who've wronged us. And it's not easy, but we're called to do that, to follow his lead in forgiving those who hurt us. And we talked about that last week. But today, on this beautiful Easter Sunday, this incredible day, the day we celebrate, again, the greatest event in all history, we're going to look at a guilty man, right? A guilty man, a thief that was hanging on the cross beside Jesus. And Jesus said these most beautiful, grace-filled words to him. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in paradise." So we're going to kind of look and study this passage in this scripture. So these words, these final words spoken by Jesus from the cross, it really begs the question to be asked. So what does it take for us to be with Jesus in paradise, right? I mean, if he looks on at this thief and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," what does it take for us to be with Jesus in paradise? And well, the Bible says in John 3:16, a very famous verse, very famous reference. You see it on signs at games and all kinds of other things. But John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It says, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. You see, God sent his Son, his perfect Son, to this earth, who lived a perfect and sinless life. He was innocent and sent him to do something that we could never do for ourselves. We could never do that. We could never earn our way to God. We could never earn our way in being right with God. So he sent Jesus and he died for us. He took our place, took on our guilt and our shame, and he gave us this gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal connection with him, again, that we could never earn. It's the gospel message. And then, incredibly, 3 days later, and what we celebrate today is that he rose from the grave, defeating death, defeating hell, defeating the grave. This is what it's all about. This is why we celebrate. This is why we have hope. It's because by faith in the perfect work of Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we are made right before God. It's incredible. But then we have to ask ourselves, man, are we okay? Are we right with God? Are we in good standings with God? Like, are we on the same page? And we have to do that work. We have to look at ourselves. So for me, I think about some certain times and certain events in my life. I think back several years ago. It's been quite some time now. I think my kids are in here, and if so, sorry. Several years ago, they had this betta fish, right? I mean, how many of y'all's kids have had a betta fish at some point in time, or just a fish in general? Right. Yeah, they had a betta fish. And while they were out, they were staying with my mother-in-law for a little bit, the betta fish wasn't doing so well. And when I say not doing so well, he was floating. He was gone. And so I did what any good parent would do. Flushed it. Went to the pet store. Bought another one that looked just like it, dropped it in the tank and said, "Hey, we're good. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about." Now you just ruined that. Your kid's sitting right beside you. But I did. So, but in all reality, I lied to my kids. Right? I lied to my kids. Maybe it's a small lie, but I lied to my kids, right? So we got to think about those things. The other thing I think about is, and I've told this story previously, some of y'all have heard this, some of you haven't, so feel free to judge me. It's okay. I've been forgiven, and I'm flawed, and I'm not a perfect person. But about four years ago, I guess, we went on a vacation to Myrtle Beach, and it's a long drive. I do not enjoy long drives, so we're driving. And I always, for whatever reason, come up against people from Texas. So if you're from Texas, I apologize. My mom lives in Texas right now, so I give a little grace. But man, people from Texas, we don't vibe, like, on the roads. Like, I can't handle it. So we were almost there. I mean, we were like 11 hours into this drive. I was exhausted, and this guy gets on my bumper, and he's just riding my bumper. I'm going 10 over the speed limit. I don't know what his problem is. So I'm just cruising. I'm frustrated. I'm watching him in the mirror. Then he finally shoots around me. I'm like, thank goodness. He gets in front of me. And then, of course, what does he do? He slows down. I'm like, seriously, dude, what's wrong with you? So then he gets back over. Then he slows down again. So I drive past him. And in not my finest moment in my life, I waved to him with a single finger. And I'll let you figure out which finger that was. Yes, thumbs up. No, it was not thumbs up. But it was not my shining moment. And I don't say that to brag. But I say those things to show you that we have to really look at where we're at. We have to look at how we're doing. So my question for you this morning is, and kind of thinking through these things is, so when I lied to my kid, right, about their dead betta fish, small lie. But when I lied to my kid, did God frown on me? Did God look down on me? When I flipped that dude the bird, again, not my finest moment. Was I no longer right with God because of that? In that moment? Because I told a lie? Or because I did something that wasn't loving, that wasn't of Jesus? I mean, seriously, how do we determine whether or not we're right with God? Does God look at our lives and say, hey, I need to look at whether your good works outweigh your bad works, or your bad works outweigh your good works? Or does that even really matter? Or is it just, you know, well, I believe it's like this, and since I believe it like this, it's like that, I don't care what anyone else says, this is what I believe, and so I'm good. I'm good with God. How do we know if we're right with God? It's an important question to ask. It's a question that each and every one of us need to ask. So obviously, the question that I want to ask you this morning, this Easter morning, LifePoint Church 2018, is this. Are you right with God? You specifically, are you right with God? Not the person sitting beside you, not the person sitting in front of you or behind you, but are you right with God? Not to use scare tactics or be gloom and doom or anything, because I honestly can't stand that. But seriously, think about that. Are you right with God? If this was your final moment in life, are you right with God? Where are you at with him? Do you have a connected relationship with him? Are you right with God? It's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. And so as you begin to explore and think through your answer to that question, I want to briefly share with you four categories, four different categories that people typically fall into when thinking about whether or not they're right with God. And maybe you'll find yourself in one of these four categories. And so the first category that we want to look at, again, we're going to look at these really briefly, is that some people would say that they're secure but unsure. Right? They're secure but unsure. This can be a really, really tough place to be, where you would say, you know what, I'm right with God. Think. I'm right with God, but you just don't have peace about it, right? You're kind of constantly wrestling with that thought. You have some anxiety or you're just unsettled with it. You're secure, but you're still a little unsure, right? The second category that we see are those who are sure, but not secure, right? They're sure, but they're not secure. They believe in religion, right? Or they believe in their good works. You know, I'm a good person, so I'm good. I believe in this belief system, or because my parents were this way or that way, you know, they believe this, so I'm good. You know, we have those people that are secure, or they're sure, but they're not secure. The third group that we see are those that are not sure and they're not secure, right? They're not sure, they're not secure. Those are the people that say, you know what? I don't really know, don't really care. I'm doing good right now. I take care of my business. You know, I'm a good person, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm just going to keep it moving. They're not sure, but they're not secure. And then finally, there are those who are both secure and sure. Right? Those who are secure and sure. And so as we check out God's word this morning and study some of these last words that he spoke from the cross, my prayer is that each and every single one of you will leave this place today sure and secure, knowing where you are with God, that you can confidently 100% say, I'm secure and I'm sure. And that's my prayer and that's my hope for each of you this morning. And that it's not because of anything that you could do. Again, I want to reiterate that. You're not going to be secure and sure because of anything that you do, but only because of what Jesus did. Because he took your place, took on your sin and your shame, died on the cross, and then rose victoriously. It's through Jesus that we can be made right with God. And that's it. Only through Jesus that we can be made right with God and be secure and sure. But how do we do that? Right? And that's all good. We can rattle that off. But how do we actually achieve that position with God? Like, what do we do? Right? We get all that. We hear that. But what do we do? So to help you with that, again, I want to ask three more questions. And we're going to spend the rest of our time on that this morning. So three questions that I believe that you can explore and work through that will help you to know and understand and leave this place both secure and sure with God. So the first question that I want to share with you this morning, and this is an important one, is do you see your need? Do you see your need? Like, really think about that. Do you see your need for forgiveness? Do you see your need for a Savior? Do you actually see your need? When we look at Scripture, we see that there were two criminals being crucified along with Jesus, right? Two different criminals that were there. And I would argue that those criminals could represent us. Those two criminals could represent us. That we are either one of two thieves. That we are one of two thieves. In Luke chapter 23, verse 41, we see that there was this repentant thief, right? And he says to the other one, he says, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. Again, that was his proclamation. That's what he said to the other one. He said, man, we are punished justly. We're getting what we deserve. In other words, he's saying, we are in fact guilty. We're guilty and we deserve this sentence. We deserve this punishment. He's recognizing his need. He understands that he is guilty. He understands that he has flaws, that he's not perfect. He understands his need. But the other one, he didn't, right? He didn't understand his need. He didn't see his need. He's, you know, maybe he's like some of you. There's a lot of people today that would say, you know what, I consider myself a pretty good person, right? I mean, I've talked with countless people when I talk about, man, how I'm in need of a Savior, that I'm flawed, that I'm not perfect. They're like, you know, I view myself as good. I view myself as a good person. Like, they don't understand their need. They're like, you know what, I've never done anything really wrong. I've not done, you know, I've like never killed nobody. I've never, you know, like ran out and just randomly assaulted somebody. You know, I've never done anything heinous like that. So, you know, really, I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't really lie to people. Well, you know, my kids fish die maybe every once in a while. But, you know, I don't really lie. I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good person. So based on that resume, I would think I'm right with God. And a lot of people take that approach. A lot of people, even that attend church casually or from time to time, take that approach. But they think they're good. A lot of people just simply don't see their need for forgiveness. They don't see their need for a Savior. And so what I like to always do is help you out with that if that's you this morning. If that's you this morning, I want to leave or give you a few questions that I want you to ask and be honest with yourself that I think will help you to understand your need. So the first one, I want everyone to participate. How many of you here would be honest and say that you've told a lie at some point in time? Even if it was a small lie, like I, you know, with the fish situation, right? Right. Every single one of us. And if you didn't, raise your hand. You can raise your hand now. Right, because we've all done that. We've all told a lie. And if you get down to the nitty-gritty, if we've told a lie, what does that make us? Right, it makes us a liar. That doesn't feel good. You didn't come here to hear that, did you? But it's the truth. It's the truth. How many of you, this was a little tougher, but I still want you to raise your hand. And you can just look forward and not try to look around, whatever. But how many of you have ever stolen something before? I'm raising my hand. Man, y'all are terrible. No, so if you've stolen something, right? I've stole something when I was younger. So what does that make you if you've stolen something? Right, come on, it makes you a thief. How many of you all have ever put something before God? That's something that you put in front of him. Right. My hand up equally. So what does that make you? Yeah, it's idolatry. So you're an idolater. So just to be clear, to help you understand your need, you are a lying, thieving idolater. Happy Easter. Welcome to Life Point Church, right? But seriously, we are all of these things. We are all of these things, and honestly, a lot more. I, as your pastor, am all of these things. Because we're all flawed. None of us are perfect. None of us. And we are in need of a Savior. We are in need of forgiveness. Do we deserve forgiveness? No, we don't. That's the beauty of it. So do you see your need? What do we deserve? Like when you really break that down, after hearing that, understanding our need, what we actually deserve, we see in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Again, not fun to talk about. But the truth. The wages of sin is death. Thankfully, the verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. But the wages of sin is death. So as people in need of forgiveness, that is what we deserve. And what I think is interesting is that on the cross next to Jesus, again, were these two thieves, both completely guilty. 100% guilty, right? Both guilty, both heard and saw the exact same things. Both suffering and dying. They're in the same situation, yet one of them recognized their need for a Savior, and the other one didn't. So let me ask, which thief are you this morning? Are you the one that recognizes your need? Or are you the one that says, "Nah, I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm okay." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. Not some, but all. We're in this thing together. We've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Therefore, we are all in need of a Savior. Do you see your need? The second question in leading us to become both sure and secure in our standing with God is this. And this is maybe the most important question. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Luke 23, verse 40 and 41, the repentant thief, the one who saw his need, he said this to the other one. He said, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man," speaking of Jesus, "this man has done nothing wrong." Even the criminal, the thief on the cross, he realized that there was something different about Jesus. From the cross, he recognized and acknowledged that Jesus was sinless, that he was flawless, that he was unjustly in that position. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, if you actually study this, most scholars or reputable scholars would state that Jesus Christ 100% actually existed. So we've kind of got to start from that point, right? I mean, regardless of what you believe from that point on, but most scholars will tell you that Jesus existed. But the question is, from there, who was he? Was he just some man, a great leader? Was he just this nice guy, cared about people, but was maybe a little nutty, kind of off his rocker? Was he this guy that had power from somewhere to do these, to heal the sick and do some of these miracles? Or maybe he was just the right place at the right time and it was coincidence? Or was he the sinless Son of God? Perfect, fully God, fully man, willing to take your place, to take on your sin and your shame, died on the cross and rose again, claiming victory for us all. Who do you say that Jesus is? You. Not your mom, not your dad, not your kids, right? Not the person beside you. Not the person that brought you here today or invited you. Not even your grandma. Who do you say that Jesus is? In Matthew chapter 16, we see how important this question is. Matthew 16, we see that Jesus actually asked Peter this very question. Right? He asked him, he said, "Who do others say that I am?" He started there. Who do others say that I am? And Peter was like, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or just some other great prophet. And then in verse 15, Jesus calls Peter out, kind of directly asks him, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And then Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Who do you say that Jesus is? Another thing I think is interesting, when you look through scripture, you can see several other times where people noted who Jesus was, who they said that Jesus was. I mean, let's start with God. When Jesus was being baptized, God opened up the heavens and he spoke. And he said, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." That's who God said that Jesus was. That's enough for me right there, right? Then we have Judas, right? Judas, who actually betrayed Jesus. What did Judas say about Jesus? After he betrayed him, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And then Pilate, when Pilate condemned Jesus to death on a cross, he said, "I find no fault in this man." Even Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Who do you say that Jesus is? Was he just another guy? Another dude in history that just did some great things? Or was he the Son of God who bore the sins of the world so that we could know him and be connected to him and be forgiven and be made right before the Father? Who do you say that Jesus is? And then the third and final question is, have you experienced his grace? Have you personally experienced his grace? Have you ever experienced the same grace that this criminal hanging next to Jesus experienced on that day that he cried out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just remember me." And Jesus responded to him with those beautiful and grace-filled words. He responded to a man who could do nothing to save himself. To a man who could do no good works, because at that point he's on the cross. He couldn't do anything religious. He couldn't go join a church. He couldn't go get baptized. He couldn't do any of those things. He couldn't repay the debt that he may have had. He couldn't do any of that. All he could do was cry out to Jesus and receive his grace. And it's beautiful. And then Jesus called out from the cross. He said this in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Some of these final words from the cross. Jesus answered him and said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He couldn't do anything to earn it. He couldn't do anything but receive. You see, he understood his need for a Savior in that moment. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. That's who he said he was. And then he just received his grace. So what about you today? Because the fact of the matter is, you are one of two thieves. You are one of two thieves hanging on one of two crosses. So which one are you? Because remember, both thieves wanted to be saved. Right? Both thieves wanted to be saved. The unrepentant thief that we typically refer to, the one that didn't, he actually said to Jesus, he said, "You saved others. You saved others, so save yourself and save us." Right? He said those things. But the other thief, man, he was like, "Don't you fear God? This man's done nothing wrong. Jesus, just remember me. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just remember me." So again, what does it take to be with Jesus in paradise? Again, three questions. Do you see your need? Do you acknowledge that your sin has separated you from God? That you are in need of a Savior? And who do you say that Jesus is? Is he just a man? Is he the Son of God? And have you experienced his grace? The grace of Jesus. You see, many people would say that in order to get to heaven or to be made right with God, that you have to do these good works, right? It's about what you do. It's about performing. It's about making sure that you're good enough. But again, in the case of this thief on the cross, it was the exact opposite. This guy could do none of those things. He wasn't in the position to. Even if he wanted to, he wasn't going to be able to. He couldn't. All he could do was embrace the grace of God. He just called out to Jesus to remember me. And so as we close, I want to leave you with a very powerful yet beautifully simple passage of Scripture. It's in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it says this: "It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You take that passage of scripture right there and it lays it out for you, clear as day, of what this thing is about. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Man, it's not of your works, nothing that you could do or could ever do. It's just a gift of God. So today, do you see your need? Who do you say that Jesus is? And have you experienced his grace? All that thief could do was just throw himself on grace. He acknowledged his need, acknowledged who Jesus was, and threw himself on grace. And the good news today is that Jesus says to all who believe and all who call on his name through faith, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for your son. God, we thank you for the fact that you made a way for us to be made right with you, even at a great cost. God, we are so thankful that you sent your son. God, we're so thankful that after he gave his life for us, taking on our sin and our shame, suffered and died for us, that he rose victoriously 3 days later. That claiming the ultimate victory for us all. And God, we are so thankful for that. And I pray this morning that each person here, God, that they would acknowledge that. That they would acknowledge their need, acknowledge who you truly are, and just fall on grace. God, we are so thankful. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today, maybe somebody drug you here, or maybe you've been coming for a while. But when you think through these questions, or think through those four categories, you find yourself not secure, not sure. You've not really necessarily understood or saw your need. You've never really thought too much about who Jesus really is. And you're still trying to work your way to God. If that's you, man, just call on God today. Understand that we all have a need. It's not just you. It's every single person that exists on this earth today has a need for a Savior. Because we're flawed. We're not perfect. We do stupid things. Understand your need. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And then at that point, just fall on grace. Jesus, remember me. Through faith, call on his name. Confess and believe. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. It was a huge price that Jesus paid to make it beautifully simple for us. Just ask the thief, Jesus, remember me. Could do nothing but just say, Jesus, remember me. Today you will be with me in paradise. And you could have that same experience this morning. So if that's you, just call out to him as that thief did. Just confess and believe. Confess your need. Believe Jesus is who he said he is. And say, remember me. Just confess and believe today. Or maybe you're here and you've just been struggling in certain areas. You're distant from God. You're kind of playing church, you're playing the game. What a great day to remember the victory that we have in Christ. And again, what that cost for you to be connected with Jesus, for you to be made right with God. Man, come back to him today. Get back in fellowship with him, back in fellowship with other believers. Begin to serve and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Live out your calling. Serve him. He's worth it. He's worthy of our praise. It's only because of him we can take one step forward and another step through this life. At this time, we are also going to go ahead and transition into our communion service. What a beautiful day to be able to partake of the elements, to partake in communion, the Lord's Supper. A day in which we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, to be able to come together and do this in remembrance of him and this body that was given for us and the blood that was shed. In Scripture, we see that there's two different ordinances. One is baptism, and the other is taking of communion. And we celebrate both of those here at LifePoint Church. Neither of them, please understand, neither of them are a requirement to be connected to God, a requirement for salvation. Again, ask the thief. He couldn't take communion. He couldn't be baptized in that moment. But we do this to remember certain things. And again, with this is this beautiful day, Jesus' resurrection, and the price that was paid for our forgiveness. And so here at LifePoint Church, we invite all of you to partake in communion. But the two things that we ask is that, one, you do so only if you're connected with God, if you have that connected relationship with him. And the other thing we ask you to do is just take a moment and really just spend some time with God. Examine yourself. Confess things that need to be made right. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. You need to call out to him and confess and believe in this moment. Man, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever business you have to do with God, we're going to give you a moment to do that as Mike's going to play a song. And I want you to spend time with God. We're going to have some of our leaders up front if you would like to talk with them about it, just to be prayed over. Or if you want to pray to receive Christ. But whatever your situation is, whether you want to do that from your seat or from up here, we're going to give you that time to do business with God. Then after that, I'm going to read some scripture, and then we'll take in the elements together as a family. So this time, you do some business with God.
Thank you.
Scripture says in Luke 22, verse 19, it says he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in Matthew 26, verse 27, it says, "And he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, 'Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the new covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many.'" So as you come forward today and you partake of the elements of the juice and the bread, do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for you, that he gave of his body, he gave of his blood for you, so that you could sit here today and say, "Man, I'm made right with God," that you can be both secure and sure. So at this time, if the team will begin to dismiss by row, and you come forward, you can take the elements and take them back to your seat. If you are unable to come forward, just slip your hand up and we'll make sure that someone brings the elements to you so that you can partake as well. Also, the team will stay up here if you would like prayer. You have another opportunity to do that.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. If you're cast out all my sin, how can I stand, God? You are everlasting, you are the never ending, you are God. You are the everlasting, you are the never ending one, you are God. Out of the step I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. If you've cast out all my sin now, so I rejoice. But there's forgiveness with you. Trust in your word, I do. Yes, God, you are the everlasting, you are the never ending, you are God. You are the everlasting, you are the never-ending one. You are God. You are the everlasting. You are the never-ending. You are God. You are the everlasting. You are the never-ending one. You are God. You are God. You are God. You are and you will be. You are everything to me. You are and you will be. You are everything to me. are and you will be. You are everything to me. Yes. You are and you will be. You are everything to me. The everlasting. You are the everlasting. You are the never ending. You are God, yes. You are the everlasting. You are the never-ending one. You are God. You are God.
All right. As we continue on with our service, we'll continue on with our tithes and our offerings. So if the guys would and gals would come forward. Here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes, or you can give on your way out the door. There'll be a basket hanging out that way as well. Or you can go online to our website. Top right-hand corner of the screen is an online giving feature. Click that button. It takes you to a safe, secure place where you can give. But regardless of how you give, we encourage you to give back to God with what he's blessed you with. He's blessed us so, so much, and he asked for just a little piece of that back. And so we ask that you would be faithful in your giving and know that that will be used to continue to move the gospel forward here through this church in this area and in our city and beyond. Also, if this is your first time out,